Hello, nerds. The Lonely Havoc here. After a short break for the holiday, back with another Havoc cast. I cannot speak. We're just going to go with it. I hope your holiday was good. Mine was pretty nice. Relaxed. Got some nice gifts. And now, it is New Year's Eve. And I love the new year because it's a good redo. A good time to reassess. A mulligan, if you will. Get your shit together maybe a little bit and make some plans for a new year. I like the sort of hope that the new year brings, and I'm looking forward to it. So today, on the Havoc cast, I will be doing something slightly different. I have Nick, who has written an awesome role-playing game called Metal World. He will be on, and we'll be having a long conversation wherein we will also play a short bit of Metal World, the RPG. I'm pretty excited about it. We had a lot of fun. It ended up being a very long call, because we just kind of went crazy with it, but I edited it down to something a little more palatable. And I hope you enjoy it. We enjoyed what we were doing. I like the setting that he has created. And I thought it would be cool to just spend some time doing that. So that will be the focus of the Havoc cast today. And I hope you enjoy. Every once in a while, I like to try something different. And that's what we're doing. So please sit back, relax, enjoy yourself for the podcast that goes on in two thin coats, the Havoc Cast. This is podcast number 9. Hello, I am here with Nick, Maniac Clown, to play Metal World, all caps.
First off, thank you for having me. Metal World is a tabletop role-playing game where basically just take the entire breadth of heavy metal as a genre and as a sensibility, even include, you know, the publication heavy metal in the movie, because, you know, those have got some
awesome,
you know, some aesthetically fitting things in them. And, you know, whether it's, you know, classic, you know, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest kind of metal, all the way to, you know, whatever very particular sub-genre that you can name, you know, Metal World is an environment for it.
It encompasses all of it.
Yes. There's a region sort of inspired by doom metal. There's a region, I mean, hell, like actual hell, exists physically. It is an afterlife, but it's also a continent. You can just go there.
Nice.
The outstanding piece of iconography is what I called the Dracano. It is a volcano made of dragons. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's volcanic rock there, because, you know, much like with the breadcrumbs in a meatloaf, you need something to bind the whole thing together.
Right.
So the volcano, when it erupts, shoots lava and more dragons.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play a little bit. You're gonna kind of walk me through it and give me a scene or two, and we're just gonna have some fun with it, so people can see like how we do this. So you want to set it up there, my man?
You are in Prismatica. Prismatica is sort of the main region of like sort of the fight against the Black, which is it's two things. It's A, the sort of nebulous force of evil in Metal World.
Okay.
And it's also kind of like an Underdark sort of equivalent. I mean, okay, you go below ground and, well, what happens under there? Well, there's, you know, all these things, like, say, you know, elves who, you know, they turn to the Black. Well, their skin, you know, changes color, and their hair turns like a radium green, and actually glows a little bit. You know, dwarves undergo a similar transformation. And so once in a while, you know, entrances are found that, you know, no one had noticed before. Because, you know, that's one thing about Metal World. The environment is very fluid, very... What serves the plot? Continuity only matters insofar as you care. And so in Prismatica, there's the Grand Palace where King Jarek Bonesteel lives. And he, you know, he's getting on in years, but he's, you know... he's basically Ronnie James Dio with the serial number filed off.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
But King Bonesteel has put out a call. Hey, there's a cave that we think maybe an entrance to the Black. You know, if anyone is interested in checking it out, you know, come to the Grand Palace and we'll give you your marching orders. And so you are traveling there in, you know, whatever manner you you know, would travel. How, I guess to start off, how would you say that you're approaching the palace? Are you just kind of on foot, the horse, whatever?
Well, I've chosen Brimstone Hellripper.
Yes.
Who I'm told is a Graveborn, which is the semi-living child of two undead, which is pretty awesome. Is this like sort of a kind of a zombie, but not really a zombie, right?
Yeah, he's, you know, for all intents and purposes, he is alive. It's just at about age 26, a Graveborn who, as you said, is the rather disturbing, even for Metal World, child of two undead who somehow managed to put the romance in necromancy.
So I'm into that. So I guess could I be traveling just like by foot, or could I have like a cool horse or something like that? Does it really matter?
You can have a horse, because inventory in this game is just kind of a matter of, okay, what would you reasonably have?
Oh yeah, awesome. Well then I definitely have an awesome black horse.
Yeah,
with like armor or something.
Because like, you know, animals don't really like just react terribly badly to you.
Oh well, good.
As a Graveborn, at least no worse to you than they would to anyone else.
Sure.
You're riding up to the Grand Palace of Prismatica, and you behold the prism-shaped building, the top of which is, you know, transparent. You can see through it. You can see the inner workings of the building and the mirrors behind the palace focusing the light of Farah's sun. The Farah is the name of the planet. As in Ferrus Iron.
Nice.
No, again, metal. These mirrors focus the light through the building, so there's a rainbow constantly shooting out of it.
Awesome.
Even at night, focusing the light of, you know, the between two and five moons that are visible on any given night, resulting, of course, in a rainbow in the dark. Again. this game is at least 20% puns and or references.
Well, that's the best kind of games right there.
It really is a breathtaking sight. I mean, even for the people who live around it, it's just like, man, that never gets old.
Right. Yeah.
As you approach the entrances, you're stopped, by a guard. He approaches you. He is in sort of just a regular, like, security guard, like modern day security guard uniform, but he's holding a spear, jagged one, because of course, he says, "Halt, state your business."
"I'm here to help find the entrance to the Black."
"Oh, that job. Okay." And he just sort of, uses his spear to gesture. "Okay. You see that, entrance E over there? Go through that one. Tell Mike you're here about the cave. He'll know what you're talking about. And he'll get you going along."
You said E?
Yes. Entrance E, right there. Yellow letter right above the door there.
The yellow. Okay.
That one. Yeah.
Thank you, so, sir.
Yep. Have a good day.
He's just letting me in. I'm gonna go to entrance E.
Yeah, it's just kind of think of like a theme park. I mean, it's a fairly large building, so it's got, you know, multiple entrances. Like okay, you parked in Lotus,
right?
So I'm making
my way.
Yeah,
entrance E.
Yeah, so you go into entrance E, and you see another guy similarly dressed. He's got a badge. It says, Mike Henderson.
Are you Mike?
Yep, well, that's what the badge says. What are you here for?
I'm here about the cave to the Black.
Oh, yep. All right. We were hoping somebody would show up. Let me escort you up to the throne room.
Do I have to leave my horse here, or can the horse come up?
A horse is probably going to need to stay out here. Just, the hallways get a little narrow. Sometimes they get spooked, you know. It's just best for everybody, horse included.
Understand.
Yeah, plus, janitor's got the week off, so I gotta pull duty, so I'd appreciate it if I didn't have to pull duty. You get me?
I get you.
Yeah. And so he leads you through the hallways, which, you know, it's sort of like stone at the base, because there's a base, but then above, the base is where it turns transparent. You know, he then takes you up an elevator. So this the first black hunting you've done?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, always good to have new people signing on. Here's our floor. So, right, wait by the throne there. I'll radio over, and they'll let them know you're here.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, you step out of the elevator, and it, closes, and then, you know, you see the number going back down. So, you know, Mike's going back to his post. And, after a couple minutes waiting, as you know, you just sort of, you know, walk toward the throne, I assume, and you know, this is sort of like, whoa, looking out like this is a trip, man, because, you know, you can see below you, you can see outward.
It's just transparent all around me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, whoa, what am I standing on?
Yeah. But like I'm standing on like a glass sort of thing, like
or like, you know,
very cool.
It's, you know, transparent aluminum or, you know, what have you. But yeah, eventually this guy comes out after, you know, a couple minutes, kind of short, balding, you know, sort of stringy hair, you know, aging, but you get the sense that, okay, physically this guy doesn't look like much, but if he's the king, there's a reason he's king. There's gotta be. So he just, he sits down on the throne and says, so, you've come about the cave some of my men found. Is that right?
My name is Brimstone Hellripper. I seek demons to destroy them. This cave seems like a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, he gets an approving look on his face. Just, you know, very good. And then, you know, sort of nods his head and says, good, good. Well, I don't know if there are demons or whatever is in there, but, you know, and it may not even be that it's a full entrance. It might just be a really deep cave. But I haven't been able to spare the men to look at it, what with all the other fights and investigations, skirmishes, what have you, that are going on. I just haven't had the staff availability. So if you're interested in ferreting out whatever's in there, I will certainly thank you for it.
Yes, my king, I will seek and destroy.
Yeah, well, I am very, very glad to hear it. So go forth, Brimstone Hellripper. Seek the cave, find what is in there, and live to report back to me. That's also the important part.
Also, what is the pay like, my king?
Pay. Oh, yes. Where did I put that? He sort of stands up. He's looking around. And he kind of looks down at his seat. There's like a little, sort of a little bulge. And he was sitting on it, like, apparently under the cushion. he had this little sack of coins.
Okay.
And he says, there's about, he kind of hefts it with his hand, kind of like chink, chink, about 300 notes in here. He sort of slides it over to you, which in metal world, it's more of a flavor thing, really, but the currency is in musical terminology. It's, it starts with notes, and then it sort of, you know, goes from there.
300 notes. This is fair, King. This is fair.
There's another 300 if you make it back alive. I look forward to hearing from you.
I will return, King, with the heads of many demons.
Well, if you want to bring them back here, I mean, that's up to you. I don't have use for them, but
it's just the thing I'm into.
All right. And he gives you a sort of, sort of thumbs up. As he says, so now if you'll excuse me, I do have some other matters of state to attend to. And he stops and says, oh, right. Sorry. Yes. I almost forgot. The security guard who let you in, Mike, he has a map. Make sure you ask him for it. You figure back down the elevator.
Yeah, I go back down the elevator. Yeah, and
the way you came.
I'll get the map from Mike, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and use the map, and I'll jump on my horse, and I'll make my way to the cave. Or at least
okay.
The entrance of the cave here.
Okay, and this is actually an opportunity for me to mention another unique thing about Metal World. Mm-hmm. Distances don't really matter so much because it takes as long to get somewhere as it needs to. You know, it's all about the dramatic necessity.
Well, then, if it doesn't require anything else, then I'll just be at this damn cave.
Yeah, well, you go off, and as you're heading down the road, you notice that There is somebody standing in the road,
and they're
sort of
blocking me.
off a bit in the distance. He's off sort of to the side of the road, but then he sort of looks and sees you approaching on horseback, and he sort of steps in the way.
Well, I will cautiously approach.
Yeah, he's dressed kind of in dark furs,
mm-hmm.
and you can see he's got a sword strapped to his back. He says, "Greetings, friend. What brings you to these parts?"
"My name is Brimstone Hellripper. I seek the cave that might be an entrance into the Black. I'm on a mission for the king."
"Oh, the Black? Here?" Oh. "No, I think not. You must be mistaken."
"Well, I aim to find out."
"Okay, where is this cave, anyway?"
"It's somewhere behind you on this road. I'm traveling there now."
"Yeah, wait, that..." And he sort of kind of spins around a bit and sort of says, "Hold on, wait a minute, off that way? Oh,
yeah,
the cave over there?"
"Yeah, that,
why
the, of
the, by
am
the
I holding
gods,
the map upside down? No, yeah, no, yeah, I'm right."
He,
no,
he, lo- he looks like, "Oh, by the gods, why are you going there? You know that's a dump site for the nearby nuclear plant, right?" And he sort of points off and, in the distance, kind of, behind you I don't know, do you look?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, you do actually see cooling towers.
Okay.
kind of over the trees. And, the fact that, he's dressed in furs, he had the security guards, like, modern-day dress, but, with spears. Metal World really does just kind of mix times together and
perfect
aesthetics. You can have a mad scientist, like, Victorian-era laboratory, pseudo-medieval fantasy, near future, like a sort of Japan cyberpunk kind of area. Mm-hmm. There's, in fact, a region called Kaijujin that's supposed to be essentially a Japan analog for, all of, Japan's breadth. So, yeah, you see some cooling towers. Make a prog roll.
All right. My prog stat is 8. What do I got to roll, above it or below it?
What you roll, the way rolls work in Metal World, is like, say you have to make a prog roll, right? Mm-hmm. You roll a d12, you add your prog.
Okay. And you roll a d12.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 4, so that's a 12.
Okay. You hear a sort of kind of noise, like, while you're looking off the nuclear towers, uh-huh, or at the uh-huh cooling towers. And, that sort of noise, it's like, oh boy.
Is this noise coming from nearby or in the distance?
Well, coming from the direction you were just looking in.
Oh, okay, okay.
In other words, look, a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and for the listeners in Metal World, the five stats, five of them, so they can be on the character sheet at the point of a pentagram, are Death, Power, Prog, Speed, and Thrash. All, of course, named for subgenres of metal. So, the way this works, then, you hear this noise, and as you turn, you notice he's drawn his sword.
Ah, okay.
So, he is attempting to either waylay you to let some other people down the road stop you, or maybe just, kill you himself, to instead of making you pseudo-undead, just making you regular dead. Now, the way initiative works, you roll your speed, and there you go.
So I got a 3 plus 6. I got 9.
Okay, and so this guy rolled a 5, and so you said you got a 9?
You have a 9 with
total.
6 with a roll of 3, yep.
Okay, so he beat you by 1. He got a 10. I rolled a 5, and he's got a 5 speed. So then, as he moves to attack you atop, you're still atop your horse.
I'm
so you got a little bit of
horse.
Advantage.
Yeah. You can get whacked down on him there.
Yeah. He rolls his thrash, and then you roll whatever ability you're going to defend with. Usually your thrash, you can usually dodge. In this case, though, since you're on your horse, I'd say about the only way you could do that is if you choose to fall off it. But it's combat is opposed, so thrash versus usually thrash.
Right.
Sometimes,
well, let's use thrash,
yeah. So sometimes you might roll your magic if you're a magic user.
Mm-hmm.
And the way skills work is they're just like a regular stat roll, except if your skill applies, you get a plus four bonus.
Okay,
but so
cool.
He's going to roll his thrash of a six.
And I also roll my thrash because it's opposed, you say, yeah?
Yep.
So what do we got here? I rolled a 10. I got a 5, so I got 15.
Ooh, and yeah, he got an 11 plus 6. Ooh. So that is a 17 plus the damage rating of 4 for his sword. So he beat you by 2 on the roll. So that means he inflicts 6 points of damage.
Where's my damage at?
Yeah, how on the sheet it's got the blank / 50.
Yeah, I got you.
So, yeah. Yeah, so he gives you a good cut right across your side, little sort of, son of a... So, it is now your turn, and in fact, I think I'll... Actually, you know what? Knock that damage down by 1, because I'm going to give you a plus 1 to your thrash while you're mounted, since you have the advantage of height.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. Well, So, drawing with sword and whacking him, that's just, as far as actions are concerned, that's like a single thing.
Yeah, it's like, and again, this isn't a sort of thing in like in D&D where, action like to draw your weapon and you can move this many feet and around. It's like, look, for the love of whatever god you care to name, just like worry more about the story and the action than...
All right, well, let me try to decapitate this fool. I'm going to decapitate this fool. I'm going to swack him at the neck with my sword here.
So okay.
My thrash... Plus my roll of 9. My thrash is 6 right now, so that's 15.
Okay, and he rolls an 8 plus 6, so that is 14. You beat him, so you do the difference plus your weapon's damage rating, which typically is going to just be a default 4 for something that fits you. Because if you're using a weapon appropriate to your general concept, like you're using your... one of your weapons inscribed with a sacred rune.
Yeah, that's
whether
what
it be a sword, a hammer, what have you.
Yeah. Sweet ass sword. It doesn't have any stats for the sword, I don't think. So.
Well, yeah, it doesn't need them. It's just in the body of the work. It just kind of says if you're using, it was like for instance, taking a storm hammer as an example. He's just he's a mighty barbarian from the steppes. He carries let's just say a giant axe. As long as you're using that axe, or at least something befitting a barbarian, you just sort of assume it has a DR of 4. Assuming it's mundane equipment, that it's not, like, special somehow. Like, it's, magical, or, like, the axe of his clan.
Right on.
It's just... The whole system is intended to be very, very simple.
Yeah, very
so
fluid.
You can very simple, very fluid, which I really had to kind of struggle with, because I'm one of those guys who I like crunch, but in something like this, where it's more about the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm, right. The story is important.
Yeah. Get the mechanics sort of as out of the way as possible.
So but I did 6 damage to this guy.
Yeah. So.
Plus the difference of the opposed roll. What's he feeling? What's he looking like now?
Yeah. It's sort of cut him and he's got a sort of. And actually, let me. Check quick, because I did make rules on what I call one-hit wonders. How, like, in Savage Worlds, they're called mooks.
Right.
Just
see out without, like, a bunch of extra math.
Yeah, just the sort of, the schlubs. And so when you damage a one-hit wonder and they're at 70% or less of their maximum health, the Metal Lord rolls a flat d12, which is the term for when a die doesn't explode. Because I did forget to mention that. If you roll a 12, because you may have played other games where the rolls explode.
Yeah,
as is the some. Yeah, because and in Metal World, I say that, other systems have different names for this. But here, the sort of generic name actually works. You dealt 6, and so that means that he would have his death of 5. That that exceeds his death score.
Nice.
I rolled a 6, so you just slurp right through his throat, and he just like it's like. So he just kind of goes down like Rexor in Conan the Barbarian.
Nice.
And he just like, and then I mean, he's even dressed similarly, and he just sort of falls, and his sword clatters against a stone, and just another dead bad guy.
Nice. And then I'm just going to, like, get the hell out of there, because if there's one guy trying to chop me up, there might be more, so I'm just going to kick my horse in the side and roll up out of there as fast as I can.
Yeah, mule. And so, you ride off in the direction of the cave. And so, after not too long, you get there. It's soon enough that the wound doesn't really hurt.
Yeah, I'm just bleeding a little bit. Yeah, I can like wrap it up.
Yeah, still
with
bleeding
something.
A little bit. Yeah, it's just kind of put some pressure against your side. And now remember that
before I left, I like ripped his shirt off, and then I used that as a bandage.
Yeah, sure. You know, a torso tourniquet. Because it's like, hey, he ain't using his shirt anymore.
He's done.
Especially with because you took it from him.
What size is this? That'll work.
Yeah, let's see. No, this isn't medical grade polyester. but now remember that as a graveborn, you don't heal normally. You have to be buried in at least 3 feet of dirt to heal naturally.
I'm reading that now on my sheet here. Natural healing unless buried in 3 foot of dirt.
Yeah, because see, you chose
something else. If I go 6 foot down, it heals twice as much.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't benefit from magical healing, but at the same time, you don't take any damage for any kind of necromantic attacks. That's kind of what I figured. Well, okay, if you get all the benefits of being undead, but not the drawbacks, like you don't need to breathe, you're immune to non-magical poisons, well, how do you balance that? Well, okay, no natural healing, because, you know, Graveborn, you know, they're meant to be like powerful and exceedingly rare, but I tried to balance them just like anything else, because I've had munchkins, you know, I've had a game before where a munchkin just ruined it.
Right, yeah.
And so, and that's another reason I tried to make this system so loose, to give the Metal Lord wide latitude to run whatever kind of game he or she wants.
Surmised at this point that Metal Lord is the game master, yes?
Yes. Taken, of course, from Judas Priest, Metal Lords. Because I was trying to think, and I was just listening to a bunch of metal, and then, hey!
Perfect.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so, you do come upon a cave.
Of the cave.
Yeah, so there's a cave, and there's, the big mouth of the cave. But you can see about 15 feet into the cave, and you know, that's when it kind of starts to really get dark and you can't see it so well. And then it, you know, it just gets, okay, that's it. You ain't seeing anything.
So I'm going to look around to see if maybe there's something I can make a torch out of, because I don't think I have anything with me.
Yeah, well, again, that's one of those things where it's like, would you reasonably have a torch on you?
I have a
you
lighter.
Know, would you have probably picked one up? Or, I mean, you hunt demons. I mean, you've probably got some kind of, you know, like a lantern or something. You know, it's just again, the question is, when the question is, do I have blank? The Metal Lord would ask, well, okay, given your overall concept, should you have it? Probably. Well, then you have it.
Well, then I pull out my lantern.
Sure. See, there you go.
And yeah, I choose to think it's like an actual human skull or something like that, and just like the mouth is like hanging open and like light comes out of the mouth and the eyes, because I think that's cool.
Yeah, or maybe like you kind of, you know, put some rosin to seal it up, and I wonder what it says about me that I immediately just sort of conceived of, wait, how would you engineer that?
Right, yeah. How would you keep the fuel in?
Yeah, except less with that sort of skeptical hey tone and more the eager hey.
How could we do this? Got my skull lantern and I'm ready.
So yeah, well, as you proceed into the, you know, the mouth of the cave, there, you know, you hear some kind of, I don't know that I'd say howling of you know, wind, movement of air, you know, that's a little strong, but you can hear some kind of noise. You think it sounds like just air movement. It might be some kind of creature. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume, though, that you'll want to proceed.
I'm not afraid.
Yep.
Going in deep.
Oh, yeah. Only way to go.
Sword drawn with my skull lamp in the other hand, sort of moving it back and forth in front of me so I can get a good idea of where I'm stepping. I don't want to trip.
Yeah. I mean, when you are fighting evil, you want to maintain safety at all times.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
reflective belt. I'm actually wearing a reflective belt as well.
Yeah, you know, on the job accidents mean less evil thought.
That's true.
So as you are walking into the cave, actually, you know what? Give me another prog roll, because prog is both your intelligence. Kind of put in D&D terms, it's like your intelligence and wisdom put together.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Prog. Plus, contextually, it's some of your charisma. Because you may notice there is no charisma stat. You know, death is basically your constitution, because it's your ability to resist death. Power is essentially your strength, and it's the other half of your constitution. Prog is your mental ability and your awareness, you know, your intelligence potential and your learning.
Yeah.
So your accumulated, you know, knowledge. Your speed is your coordination. And your general movement ability, and your thrash is your combat ability, which, go figure, in a metal game, your combat ability is a main stat instead of a skill.
Thrashing, folks, yeah.
Yeah. So with your charisma, whether you roll prog or power depends on if you're convincing someone or if you're convincing.
Right, yeah,
something.
Yeah. Like, coercing or something, yeah.
Yeah, you know, intimidating. You know, if you're trying to, you know, make a reasoned argument, you know, if you're trying to appeal to reason, you roll prog. If you're trying to convince them that you're right, you know, that's when you roll prog. If you are instead trying to force them to come around to your way of thinking, you roll power. Anyway, what you avoid happening is you do not trip over this corpse.
Oh, a corpse.
Yeah, that. I mean, it's been there a good while.
Oh, a corpse.
And it's Jim Dandy. It's been there a while. It's definitely been gnawed on. There's a lot of it missing. I mean, flesh-wise, at least. You know, the bones are pretty much intact. Mm-hmm. You know, a few of them have been made off with by, you know, this, you would hope, animal or another.
I'm going to search this corpse.
Okay, it... You know, it's got a small knife on it. You know, it's, you know, kind of rusty. But you know, like a, you know,
that's not a knife. That's a knife.
Yeah, like a rusty buck knife. But you know, that's about it. Nothing else you can really pick out that's useful. Maybe like
nothing remarkable.
Yeah, maybe a book of matches with like 3 matches left.
Take those just in case.
You never know when matches will come in handy, especially when you need to light a fire.
Well, then I will proceed if there's nothing good going on with this corpse.
Yep. And you can tell it looks like a, you know, a vaguely humanoid corpse. You think it was a human, maybe an elf. The ears have kind of been, you know,
yeah,
gnawed off.
Yeah, they're gone. No ears.
At this point. Yeah. It's, well, minimal ears. Like, they're arguably still there. Arguably. But as you continue, you come upon a sort of wall of stone. There's sort of you kind of hit a dead end, but there are kind of holes in it.
How big are these holes?
you can see through them,
like about head size.
Well, some of the bigger ones, yeah, maybe about head size. I mean, there are enough of them you can kind of look through to the other side. You know, there's one kind of close enough. Maybe if you kind of you hold up your lantern, you can get a little bit of light in there. You know, you don't really like immediately see a way through. So yeah, the situation.
Around.
Yeah, the situation is now as Hulkamania. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Well, you know, I'm gonna use my prog probably to look around to see if there's any sort of mechanisms or levers or something like that that might. You know, I'm always expecting some sort of like trap doors or something like that. So
okay,
we do that.
Yeah, or even a trap ceiling.
Trap anything.
See, yeah. See, nobody does. You know, not many people do those.
Nobody does a trap ceiling. That, like, it just shoots you out of the ceiling instead
of into the space. That's the work of a true artist.
Well, I'm going to look around to see if it appears as any sort of like mechanisms or some sort of switches or levers or something in place, even like, you know, in my vicinity.
Okay, well, go ahead and make a prog roll.
9 plus 8, which is what, 17?
Yeah, 17, yes. Yes, again, I was an English major for a reason.
yeah, quick math's not my forte. So yeah, 17.
Yeah, 17. Okay, well, you, as you're looking around and you're kind of examining the walls, you're doing the sort of, you know, running your hand over them. You notice one sort of, you know, palm-sized stone, like, section where you run over it. It kind of moves a little bit.
And I say, what an odd palm-sized stone section.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, TV tropes conspicuous light spot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
it feels like I can move it.
Yeah, when you touch it, it has just a little bit of give.
Ooh,
so
press it. I'm gonna press it.
Yes. So you press it, it kind of. Yeah, you hear a sort of, you know, kind of like sort of little sort of mechanical noise, and then the walls sort of, you know, pull away, just a, you know, sort of you know, several feet open.
Oh.
Enough for you to comfortably get through,
mm-hmm.
like very comfortably. So you know you. You may kind of wonder, well, okay, if those, you know, if they've engineered a rock wall to come apart or to, you know, to open up that wide, well, what or how many things need to, you know, get in or out?
That's a large gaping hole.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're going to have a hole, it may as well be gaping.
It might as well be gaping.
There's a certain internet man who has taught us all that, and his name is Kirk Johnson.
Poke my head in. We don't get too crazy.
Yeah, I'll well,
take a,
you
a cautious look.
Yeah, you get a better better view now, and you can pretty clearly make out there are three sort of openings, kind of off and, you know, the opposite. You know, the wall, well, I guess I'd say opposite you, but sort of, you know, around. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, kind of three openings around the area, which is fairly sizable. You know, there's plenty of room in here. Because, I mean, this looks like it's probably some kind of traffic hub.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Getting around. So now roll prog again, because this is going to be a surprise roll.
Progging it up. Here it goes. Ooh, 4. Plus my prog of 8 is 12.
Okay, and so then...
a very good roll.
Ooh, the speed roll is a natural 12, which means... Ooh, oh, and then there's an 11. Oh, suddenly upon you are two dwarves, or specifically, Dvergr. Which I even used the authentic Scandinavian spelling rather than just, you know, the D&D spelling of Dvergr.
So I would know these as sort of like corrupted dwarves kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, especially your line of work, you'd probably at least, you know, have heard of them and know them by description, if not have encountered them before.
So with that massive roll, they just sort of like snuck up on me or something?
Yeah. Yeah, they snuck way the hell up on you. Because in fact, they turn blue skinned. Mm-hmm. So these are blue skinned dwarves, which if you think to the movie Heavy Metal and like those mutants in the Tarna segment, that kind of happens to them. How those guys all turned green,
right? Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to these dwarves. Otherwise, they look, you know, normal. They're just evil.
At this point, since I've got two dwarves that are about to get me, I'm gonna we're getting short on time.
Yeah,
so we're just gonna assume that I destroy these dwarves and I do all this awesome stuff.
Yes, because you know why not? I mean, you have a skull lantern.
That's one of the best things.
I mean,
so, yeah, I
you know, right there.
I'm getting the gist. the setting. I like how you've developed a setting, and you know, I'm also a fan of like the setting and story over crunch. That's just how I like to play role playing games as well. So I'm into that.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And yeah, I mean, I'm one of those guys who likes definition. I mean, with the Deadlands system, because I ran a Hell on Earth game for mm-hmm. 2 years in college. You know, I liked the definition of that, where it's like, okay, I hit him, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And where that's all defined and you don't have to like make stuff up. Yeah, okay. But at the same time, sometimes all you really care about is just kind of the story. Because the tone of the game is also meant to be very flexible. Yeah. You know, you can run it as like sort of classic, just sort of heavy metal, just very generalized. You know, like, again, sort of Judas Priest kind of, you know, Black Sabbath, where it's, you know, it's a little of this, a little of that, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you want to run it as, like, you know, doom metal, where, like, you know, you're fighting the black, but you figure you're ultimately going to lose.
Right.
It's
very flexible. It's a flexible system.
Yeah, flexible system, flexible, flexible outlook. Or if you want to go like full on, like Hammerfall, you know, power metal, where it's like you're these, you know, warriors of the light and you're going to triumph over all who stand against you. Or if you want to go full like Death Clock, Gwar style,
right. Madness.
Absurd madness and self parody, you can do that.
So tell me about. So are you doing like a Kickstarter right now? Is the book ready to be published, or how is this going to be available?
I expect to launch the Kickstarter in late February, early March, because I'm still kind of getting some ducks in a row on that front in terms of there's a guy I have commissioned to do a promotional image that I intend to put in the book. When the Kickstarter succeeds, mm-hmm. Of a Glamshee, because there are Banshees, of course.
Okay.
But then, you know, this being Metal World and, you know, hair metal being part of that, there are also Glamshees. They're extra vulnerable to magical fire. and, you know, being ghosts, good luck putting that out. I'm looking, you know, late February, early March, kind of my plan is for everyone who downloads Metal World, the rough cut from DriveThruRPG, it's up there as pay what you want.
So
yeah.
Where can people find information about Metal World?
Well,
or about it, or check it out, or hear from you about it.
Well, my main media channel is the @metal_world_RPG account on Twitter. There is also a Facebook page that I've started using less and less as I've moved to Twitter.
Do you have a website as well?
Yes, maniacclown.com.
Okay.
Which I will fully cop to the fact that it kind of looks like, you know, it could look better. The links to the rough cut is up there on the page. The Facebook page is a pinned post. Mm-hmm. There's also an accompanying group on Facebook called Metal World, the fan club. And so I understand that, you know, DriveThruRPG, when you download something, you can send a message out to everyone who mm-hmm. you download it saying, hey, you know, you check this out. This, you know, you got a Kickstarter going on now. You know, check out the Kickstarter, pledge to it.
I hope everyone checks it out. I appreciate you being on the podcast and hanging out with me today. Nick Maniac Clown, and everyone should check out Metal World, all caps, Metal World.
Yes, all caps, because if you if you write it in sentence case, you're whispering.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Yep. Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. It's a good time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, talk to you soon.
And there you have it, nerds. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Doing something different, playing some RPGs, learning about some cool new projects that are out there. If you have a cool project or a game or an RPG or something that you want to talk about on the Havoccast, please get in contact with me. You can find me on the Twitters @TheLonelyHavocs. Don't be shy. I hardly bite much at all. I'm more liquor than anything, so drop me a line. and we can talk about your cool stuff you got going on, because I want to talk to you. Good night, everybody.